This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Cruise in style in a Toyota Camry. With available all-wheel drive and multiple driving modes, you can accomplish anything. Experience cutting-edge available tech like a multimedia touchscreen and wireless connectivity complemented by the reliability of Toyota Safety Sense. It's no wonder the Camry has been the best-selling car in America for over two decades.
Or check out a new Corolla and define your style with a model for everyone, from the sleek and affordable sedan to the super efficient hybrid and the hip and agile hatchback. There's a Corolla made just for you. Toyota has even introduced their spacious Corolla Cross as a hybrid for when your adventure calls for both maximum capacity and efficiency.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a new Camry, Corolla, or Corolla Cross today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals, details, and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Hello, and welcome to Happier, a podcast where we discuss, you guessed it, how to be happier. This week, we'll talk about why you should know your purpose. And we'll talk to the brilliant co-hosts of the Nod podcast, Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings, about the advantages and challenges of working with a close friend. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. And Elizabeth, you know something about working with a close friend.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in Los Angeles. And yes, Gretchen, I've worked with a close friend for the last 20 years, my writing partner and co-host of Happier in Hollywood, Sarah. So I know all about the highs and lows of that.
Now, a quick update before we get into the Try This at Home. I want to remind listeners that once we start the credits, one thing you might want to hang on to listen to is that we give resources, kind of free resources. Maybe you want the Happier tattoo that we're offering in the United States and Canada and all this different stuff that we talk about at the very end of the show. So keep listening if you want to know about various freebies and resources that we want to make sure that you know about. And Elizabeth, this week our Try This at Home tip is to ask, what is your purpose? And this is an idea that probably can mean a lot of different things in a lot of different contexts. But we're going to talk about one specific meaning today.
Yeah, it's the idea that you get more out of a situation when you know why you're there. It sort of helps in your decision making. It keeps you from being distracted by various options and opportunities because you know your purpose.
And I was thinking about this just recently because I had a great example of how this was, it's helpful to know your purpose. So I was going back to my reunion, my college reunion. And often when I go to, so I went to law school and undergraduate at Yale. And so sometimes I'll go back for one reunion, but then like, oh, it's undergraduate, but I'll walk through the law school. Or like, I want to see a bunch of people and make sure that I touch base with everyone that I ever knew. And I can get very distracted. But with this reunion, even before I went, I was like, I'm here for one purpose. And my purpose is to spend time and really reconnect with my two roommates. Everything is subordinate to that. It's all about them. Mm. We're here. We're going to talk to other people. We're going to go to lectures. We'll go to the art gallery. We'll have lunch. But whatever it is, it's all about engaging with these two people. Everything else is not why I'm here. I have other opportunities to come back to different reunions and like walk down various memory lanes. If that doesn't happen this time, that's okay because I know my purpose. My purpose is these two people, nothing else.
And so how did it work out?
It was great because instead of feeling like kind of pulled in a lot of different directions or, you know, or sometimes like I'll have like a to-do list in my mind and I'll think like, oh, well, I have to walk through the law school and I have to go have a Greek salad at Yorkside. And I really, really want to go walk through Sterling Library's lobby or I want to go visit the new residential colleges. It's like, do I need to do these things in this particular weekend? No, I don't, because this is all about connecting with these relationships. And so it made it much more carefree for me. And I really feel like I got out of it what I wanted to get out of it. So it felt more successful because I was really like, I know my purpose. Am I achieving my purpose? Yes, I did achieve my purpose.
One thing I like that you said to me about it, Gretchen, is you said I could go broad or go deep, and I want to go deep. And
yes.
I like that.
Yes, that was exactly how, because sometimes I get into that mode where I'm like, oh, there's a million people here I want to like have a brief conversation with. I have to like dart around and try to cover every base. I'm like, yep, not doing that this time.
Yeah, well, one, I think this applies in a lot of situations, Gretchen. Yep. And one place I was thinking of is volunteering at school.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of different ways you can volunteer at school. And to pick what you do, you want to think, what's your purpose?
Yeah.
You know, what do you want to get out of it? So if your kid doesn't get to see that, say you're like me and I'm a working mom and Jack doesn't see me all day, every day, I might want to do something at school where I'm in the classroom, which I do, like volunteering in science lab, or going on a field trip where he actually sees me and gets to spend time with me at school.
Well, and he also sees like school is important to you, like you're showing up, and that signals school is an important value in our lives as a family. Yeah.
Yes. But if, say, you're a mom who has been at home and wants to get back in the working world, you might do something where you actually use, you know, some skills like, you know, working on the annual fund to sort of brush up on what that's like.
Yeah. I have a friend who did that, actually. She did it as a kind of a transition. Yep.
Oh, and did it work?
Yeah, no. I mean, she just wanted to kind of get back in the game, and it was great, you know.
And a big one for a lot of parents, I think, is making friends.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, Sarah's daughter is starting at a new school, and I told Sarah, I'm like, the best way to make friends is to join a committee with a bunch of parents and spend time together, and that's how you'll easily make friends. Mom always told us that.
Yeah, to work on a project together. But also, I think if you're talking about your children's school, another advantage and another purpose that you might want to serve is like you'll know more about kind of all the scuttlebutt about the school, like the reputations of the teachers or like how does this really work or I don't know how to manage this thing, like what's going on here. If you know other parents, then you can turn to them as resources, especially if they have older children or twins. Like I have two sets of friends who have twins and they always know way more because they just have double
That's
exposure.
Funny.
Yeah, so you can choose the volunteer opportunity where it might seem like, oh, there's so many choices. What do I choose? If you know your purpose, then it's a lot easier to get out of it what you're hoping to get out of it, even if you haven't maybe consciously articulated what it is that you exactly want to get out of it.
And of course, this applies to trips. I mean, I'm about to go on a family vacation, first family vacation in 3 years.
Yes.
before, like in this little window before our work really heats up.
Yeah.
And I mean, my purpose is just to spend time with Adam and Jack and relax. Like we don't have any purpose beyond that. And that's just going to relieve me of feeling like we have to like leave the hotel room at any point.
Right.
We can just hang out as much as we want.
Because it's all about resting and restoring and just being together.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's an interesting, I mean, know your purpose obviously can go in so many different directions, but I think it's often very specific and concrete, like in this very particular situation. We'd love to know if you tried this at home and how knowing your purpose works for you. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Or as always, you can go to the show notes for this episode. This is episode 173. So you go to happiercast.com/173 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we ask you listeners for a happiness hack. But first, this break.
We all know that our life and our health can be improved when we eat nourishing, healthy meals, but it can be hard to maintain. With Sunbasket Meal Kits, it's easy because they take care of the details. Sunbasket offers 18 chef-crafted, dietitian-approved recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, and keto-friendly. The recipes are quick and easy to follow, and you can enjoy a meal full of organic produce and clean ingredients that's ready in 30 minutes or less.
Try mouthwatering Sunbasket dishes like salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and seared squash, or steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes. My son Jack loves salmon, and he loves Sunbasket salmon burgers. Go to sunbasket.com/happier today to get $45 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/happier to get $45 off your first box plus free shipping. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Alyssa, it's time for a happiness hack, but this week we don't have a hack. We're asking for a hack because we keep getting this question from listeners and we don't have a good solution.
Yes, we've received many emails from listeners who say that while they're listening to the Happier podcast, they hear ideas and tips that they want to remember, but there's some place where it's not easy to make a note, like if they're listening in the car, which is where many people listen.
Yeah.
So what do people do? Like, how do you make these notes? Because it's true. I mean, we get this question every day.
Yeah. Now, I am, as promised in the 18 for 2018, I am making a list of all the Try This at Home and all the hacks. So that is coming. So that, I think, is something many people would find useful. But other than that, like, what are other strategies? And obviously, that's just the Try This at Home and the hacks. It's not everything. Alyssa, a lot of times when I'm listening to a podcast, I'm walking through Central Park or I'm walking somewhere, you know, during my day, and I'll stop and email myself a note. But I couldn't do that if I were driving.
No, you can't do that. Yeah, and it's that thing where someone says something that you and you feel so sure you're going to remember it, but as we've discussed, you need to write it down because you won't remember it.
We
all know this from years of experience.
Yes.
So we really do need some sort of method when listening to any, you know, whatever podcast you're listening to that's got good information that you want to take away. How do you track that information without crashing your car or putting anyone in danger?
Absolutely. So let us know your tips and tricks. I mean, Alyssa, speaking about listening to podcasts and wanting to write down your thoughts, today we have an interview with two podcasters that's also a combo with a happiness stumbling block, because they're going to talk about a potential happiness stumbling block. Because today we're talking to Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings, who are co-hosts and producers for the terrific podcast The Nod, which The New Yorker magazine called a playful and serious podcast about Blackness. It's an exploration of the many dimensions of Black culture.
Brittany and Eric have been close friends since they met in college at Howard University. After college, for fun, they started an independent podcast called For Color Nerds, which they did for about 3 years. Alex Bloomberg, the founder of Gimlet Media, was among their fans. Cut to... now they're working together at Gimlet on The Nod.
So, hello, Brittany. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Hey, it's great to have you over from Gowanus here. Yeah.
Yes, we made it.
Panoply Studios. So thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Now, a big part of why your shows have been so terrific is that you have such great chemistry. You know each other so well.
For
so long. And we wanted to talk to you today about something that for many people is kind of a happiness stumbling block that they worry about, but it also has the opportunity to be a huge happiness triumph, which is working with a really, really good friend.
Mm. Yeah. It was, you know, it's been a journey. It's always a journey.
Well, the thing is we started working together on For Colored Nerds, our previous podcast, before The Nod, because we felt, this is how you know God is a comedian, we felt that we were not spending enough time.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, oh, you want to solve that problem? Yeah. That can be arranged.
Oh, yeah. We oversolved.
Yeah. Way too much. And it's interesting how it kind of, it like slowly built up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's just like all the time.
Every day.
Yeah. I was with you almost from 10 until, what was it, like 8:30?
10 until about 8:39 last night.
Yesterday, yeah. So like over 12 hours.
Yeah, right.
Like, and that's not irregular experience.
Right. When we travel for work, we tend to travel pretty often for work, whether for reporting or for live shows or something like that. We are together for days.
Right.
Sometimes a whole week. And we drive together. We sit on the plane and the train together.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah.
So you've got to be closer now than you were, but in some ways, do you also have more friction than you used to have?
I think naturally when you have, like, the it's like, okay, like, I moved in with my boyfriend, like, in, like, 9 months ago. There's, like, it's been amazing. It's been fairly easy, but just by virtue of seeing each other more often, just, like, you know what I'm saying, you're bound to have more, you have more meeting points.
Yeah.
So it's like before, maybe it's like, well, I wish I could see you on Tuesday, but you're always busy on Tuesday. Now it's like, you know, the living room, you know what I'm saying? Because we're in the living room every day. So it's like we work together now. We sit across from each other and we work on the same project with the same people day in and day out. There's more points of contact.
Yeah. And do you think it was easier because you did this sort of passion project on your own, sort of on your own terms, you kind of invented it together, and then it transitioned into being sort of like, you know, a job?
Yeah.
Do you think you worked out a lot of the... Or maybe that would have gone away if you couldn't manage it together, if it wasn't fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was definitely like a bit of a journey in the beginning. But like once we actually started the Nod, we kind of had a bit of a groundwork for how to work with each other. You know, like
you had the groundwork.
Yeah. Like I knew the things, especially about even like the work part of building like a podcast that like Brittany was most interested in, the stuff she had like a ton of opinions about. And like the things that I was most interested in, I had a ton of opinions about. And I knew where, like, we kind of know where the overlap is. And so I think we try to anticipate those things as much as possible and kind of create space for each other to not get into arguments or disagreements about, like, the known issues.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I know this is going to be really important for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me kind of back off. But everything else we argue about.
We argue constantly. But, like, it's not always, like, knockdown. It's like not that serious.
We argue a lot. We rarely fight.
Yes. I would say we fight probably once every year and a half to 2 years. We would fight.
It's like it's actually really rare that we get into
an actual fight.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It takes like, and we've been friends for 13 years. You know what I mean? So it's like, but it makes sense about every every 1.5 to 2 years.
You're due.
Fight. Yeah, you're due. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And has it ever felt like one of those fights could threaten what you're doing? Has it ever been that serious?
Well, it's hard. I think something for me that I've been thinking about more that we have been working together, like, on, because we've been working on For Colored. We've been working together this year, I think, marks 4 years.
Yeah.
And so by the time we started the Nod a year ago, we had been already working in general together for 3 years. Mm-hmm. But we started working full time together, I would say, a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And something that I think about is sort of like, what are the positives and negatives that I'm feeling as a friend? What are the positive and negatives I'm feeling as like a creative partner?
Colleague.
And just keeping those things, I try to keep those things separate in my mind.
Yeah. I think that's actually a really, really important thing. And interestingly enough, most of our actual, like, when we do fight, it's rarely about work.
No, we actually are aligned on work.
Yeah. It's almost always something like in, like, our actual friendship. And that's interesting. I think that actually happens, that dynamic is created because so much of our relationship is work now, like, we actually often have less time to actually just be friends, you know?
Yeah.
So it makes sense that that's kind of where tension would pop up.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's interesting because, Alyssa, I feel that way with you sometimes. Like, we're so busy sort of doing our work together that sometimes we don't just, like, have a long, chatty conversation because you already have a lot of time and you're like, well, you know, there's only, you know, you've got to spread out your attention for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we also know everything.
That I was just going to say, something that I always say is that, like, Eric and I'm more caught up on Eric's life than anyone else in my life. I am more, my niece is 4 months old. Okay.
Right.
I should know. I know more, I think, about Eric than what is, like, my niece is doing day to day. I can get caught up on my niece. Like, I have to, like, call my sister, call my mom, be like, what's she doing? What's up?
Yeah.
But, like,
right.
Eric,
she can't get on the phone.
Right, she can't get on the phone. I have to go out and seek out the information or go to her house. I know I'm going to see Eric Monday through Friday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we are caught up. We have been caught up for the last 13 years. We've been around for most of the things in each other's lives.
But did it change when you went from being kind of like having voluntary kind of like, we're doing this for fun, to like, we're actually going to the same office, we're getting a paycheck, we're like, we're colleagues in a way. Did that bring up any kind of new tensions, or actually that was made easier?
Well, it forced us to talk more, like to each other about what we want, where we think we're going. Especially because at the point that we transitioned to the Nod, we now have, like, other people in the mix.
Yes.
Right.
You know, we have a team.
Because it used to be the two of you.
It was the two of us, and then for about 6 months of the last, of, like, the tail end of For Color Nerds, we had one other producer. But still primarily, like, it's just
we were running the ship, yeah.
And now you have a pretty big team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so, like, and that team has to kind of function as a whole. Like, it'd be weird if, like, we are in a silo, you know, and then we communicated a lot more to make sure that, like, when we had to integrate ourselves into this new process, that, like, we were aligned and we can actually just let our team work how the team works best, as opposed to how we know each other works best.
And that you don't, and they don't feel shut out because you guys have some sort of, like, long-standing kind of intimacy that they can't.
No. I actually think now that we've been working on The Nod, I think that we work a lot more separately on a day-to-day basis. We see we're in the same physical space, but typically, like, you're only going to hear, with the exception of certain episodes, like our segments are more like the fun episodes, like Good for the Blacks or Three Reasons Why or something like that. Those are going to be us recorded
the
in
peanut butter.
Yeah, the peanut butter history, right? Those are going to be recorded with just the two of us in about an hour or hour and a half. But, like, the actual reported stories, we're usually working separately on those.
Yeah.
And so, like, separately with different members of the team, it's like, so day to day, we're not always having the same meetings or doing the same things.
And that actually, I mean, I like that because it helps us keep things interesting. Like, we know everything about our personal lives, but in terms of, like, work, it creates a lot of surprise. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you were reporting this story for 2 months.
Right.
You know, tell me about it.
Yeah. And we try to keep things secret from each other a lot.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, as far as story elements and things like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I'd love to hear your thoughts on is I have been working with my writing partner, Sarah, for 20 years, and we were high school friends. So,
wow.
I'm really familiar with all of these dynamics, and people ask us all the time, how do you make this work? And for me, what it is that we have the same level of ambition. And that means we're always sort of moving in the same direction. And I'm just wondering why you think it works with you guys.
I think that hits on a lot of it, actually.
I was just going to say, actually, that feels very, I feel like that rings very true.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and kind of doubling down on that, we have the same amount of ambition. We both came into this wanting to do something creative. And once we realized that, like, there was so much more open to us, we were like, yes, I want all of it.
Right.
That's the thing. I actually think we were perfectly aligned and we're like, we want all of it. We want the best of everything. Right. As soon as we can get it, we are like, and also, too, I think we both, something that was really, I think back on it, it was really remarkable. We were working on For Color Nerds. We were typically working, like, either early in the morning. Like, I didn't, you know, I was, like, single. I was living with roommates. So a lot of times I was working, getting up at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning and working from, like, 5 to 9. Eric is on, like, you know, he's dad, so he can't get up and work. He has to get somebody, like, to daycare or, you know what I mean, or to school. So, like, he would sometimes be up late at night.
Yeah.
And then, like, also on the weekends, like, it was so intense.
And you had day jobs.
And we had day jobs. And we never, and we also both, while we were working on For Color Nerds, transitioned out of, like, marketing and digital advertising day jobs into a completely new company, completely new field.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As, like, total newbies. And I think that, like, we both took it very seriously. Like, there was never really a question in my mind of how seriously Eric took it. And the same for me. And we both just, like, we both are very much just, like, let's get it done. Like, let's just, like, get it done. Let's make it as good as possible. Get it in front of as many people as we possibly can. And, like, we're just, like, I think about that and I'm like, that's so weird and very lucky that that's how things turned out.
Also, I'd say that we both approach the ambition in slightly different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are things that I know Brittany loves to do that, like, if opportunities pop up, she's like, yes, we should do this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know. You know, that's not my thing. So we push each other. We're both pushing each other towards the same goal, but in different ways.
Oh, so
which is really nice.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you both have sort of different comfort zones. So you kind of get further because somebody's there to be your cheerleader. Well, on Chris Guillebeau's podcast, Side Hustle School, he talks about a lot of side hustles. And there's been a lot of examples of good friends going into things together. Given what you've been through, are there any pitfalls you would warn people about, or like anything that you thought about in advance, like, and like, let's have a conversation about this? Because I think for many people, it is a fantasy. And like the idea that you know each other so well and you just love hanging out and then you mm-hmm. have this wonderful thing that you've created together, it sounds so great. How can you avoid some of the negatives?
I think you need to be something that we did, I think, like early on is we like had, I think we have fewer conversations about it now because like we work on a larger team that has like a senior producer who's going to be more in charge of things like this. But early on, have as many conversations as you can about like workload, because what you think is going to be the workload at the beginning, like what your like what your tasks are, how long those things take, how many people or resources they involve, those things change over time. So like constantly have conversations about workload. When we first started, I want to say 2 months after we first started for Colored Nerds, you know, you found out you're going to be a dad.
Yeah.
And like that drastically changed like how much he was able to invest at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And then once you were done with your family leave, like it was like you were back in. Once I started working at Gimlet, it was like a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But then I was like, it's like you have to constantly be in communication about what your needs are. Because like you're going to know more about what each like about each other's personal needs are than the average coworker does.
Interesting.
So like use that to your advantage in trying to have conversations and anticipate like workload changes and needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would also say the other thing that I think we do quite a bit, not like all the time, but enough, is like we are almost always kind of talking about like boundaries a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, like one thing we did in the very beginning is we talked about, so with For Colored Nerds, we talked about what we will talk about, what mm-hmm. we will not talk about.
Right.
And that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think it was important at that time because we're friends and we know, like we know so much
yes.
more than mm-hmm. we would ever maybe
yes.
share.
Yeah.
But having that boundary setting conversation helps me be like, oh, well, this is a thing. Okay, I know all this. And, like, we're cool talking about it, but you don't want the world to know.
So, like, Eric knows I don't talk. Mm-hmm. I don't ever talk
about
my...
disclose less
I disclose
than Eric.
Less things. Yeah, so, like, yeah. I don't want... Like, I will talk about... I've been with my boyfriend now for 3 years, and we live together, so I can't act like... I don't
right.
know who he is. But I never talk about, like, our relationship or his mm-hmm. name or anything like that. Like,
right.
No identifying information where he works or anything like that. Well, I mean, I guess, like, there's a little bit. Like, people know that we live together and he's from Puerto Rico and, like, we met online.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, for the most part, like, that's, like, a thing. It's, like, if you want to find it out, great. But, like, that's something I'm not comfortable talking about. But, like, Eric is a little bit more open than I am.
So the kind of takeaway is, think about these things in advance. Work them out in advance.
Yeah.
Don't try to solve them on the fly where maybe people are going to feel, like, resentful or,
exactly.
or, like, uncomfortable or interesting.
And, yeah. and check in. Like, and check
yeah.
in. Because, you know, like usually with a project, you know, if things are going well, the amount of work and the amount of busyness will grow.
Yes.
And
yeah.
so, like, you know, things that changes those dynamics. So if you check in and say, like, is anything different? Like, how are things going? Is there anything, you know, have I messed up? Have you messed up?
Yeah.
You know, those things help you kind of reset so that you don't have to worry about the relationship aspect. You can kind of just
yeah.
focus on the
right.
work.
And that's
yeah.
freeing. So you have a very clear vision for your podcast. So the description is, The Nod tells the stories of Black life that don't get told anywhere else. So do you agree on what kind of stories you want to cover, what kind of stories you want to tell? Is that ever a thing? Like, I want to do this, but you want to do that?
Like, we never have made, I think that, like by virtue of the way our team functions, like, we have a lot of, like in our pitch meetings, is like, that's where we have one every other Friday for a couple hours. That's where you bring your ideas and they're discussed.
And everybody's bringing their ideas.
And everybody's bringing their ideas. And everybody is discussing them as a group. And so, like, I think a big part of the whole reporting and, like, pitching process is having you throw your ideas out there and everybody beats them to death.
Yeah.
And just to see if, like, they can take it. And they poke holes in everything. So I think that, like, it's built in sort of the process. I think this, like, at the end of the day, we both have final say on, like, what is actually going to go out and, like, how we feel about it.
Yeah.
And which of you is going to kind of take the lead on a particular story?
Usually whatever you bring to the table, and like, it's like you eat what you kill.
Yeah.
And so it's true.
Yeah.
It's
accurate.
Yeah. And so, like, and so that's like, that's sort of how that goes. And sometimes a producer will pitch something that they won't necessarily voice. And like we also sometimes will be like, well, you know what? We've heard from Eric twice this month. Why don't we have Brittany on this one? And we just sort of, or like, you know, Brittany ate a bunch of peanut butter. Like, why doesn't Eric do a peanut butter history this time? But yeah, no, so like, you know, it's built into the process, I think, the whole like having an idea challenged and like having us in real time draw boundaries on what we want to talk about or we don't want to cover.
Yeah. And on that note, it's kind of important to be cool with an ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. You know, like there are things that like initially, like when we first started developing ideas for the night, ideas that I had that were kind of like people were like lukewarm about.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, the team is not really feeling it, but it's also maybe I didn't communicate it great.
Right. Yeah. And so then, go take another stab
yeah.
at it.
And just not like I think what we've done, like by virtue of having everything picked apart, it forces you to develop a thick skin to see like, what does the idea need? Like, it's not a reflection of me. It's like, what does the idea need to get back to the group in a way that would actually work?
Yeah.
So you need to, like, oh, I need to flesh this out, mm-hmm. or I need to explain to people why this has grabbed mm-hmm. my attention, or why I think this is worth talking about in a way that they get it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it's you know, obviously it's our show, but it's everyone's show. Everybody has to work on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you need buy-in. And if you're going to get that buy-in, then, you know, the team needs to feel good about what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the hardest things about working with a friend is feeling like when they're on fire, let them be on fire and don't feel like, oh, I'm not doing enough. Just let them be great in their moment. And that to me goes with the ebb and flow. It's like sometimes someone's got all great ideas and, you know, it's going to go back and forth and to let your ego handle that.
Well, I think that's a really good point. And I think the other thing, too, that where we're really lucky in having a team and also, like, we everybody on the team is, like, writing, reporting, recording, producing. Like, everyone on the team is doing all of the different tasks. It makes it so it's, like, you know, sometimes I'm going to be, like, I have a lot of ideas and then, like, I can, like, go and report those things and cut them up and they make episodes. And sometimes, like, I don't. Really? And so then I'm like, okay, well, maybe like has someone else pitched something that I can help them write?
Yeah. Right.
Or like, does someone need for me to produce an interview? There's like so many, it's like sort of like when you're, I don't know, it's like, honestly a marathon. Our show comes out every Monday. If it's Christmas, if it's New Year's, if it's Memorial Day, the show's still coming out every single week out of the year. And so it's like, you have to, I think of those more as like rest and recovery periods. So sometimes it's like, I'm going to be on fire. Mm. I'm going to be popping. And other times I'm like, my brain is empty. I am wrung dry. And so sort of like, okay, what other ways can I be useful on the team and make other people feel supported? Because at the end of the day, we're all on the same team. So it's like, if Eric has a story that does amazingly well and everyone loves it, that reflects well upon me.
Exactly.
And vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, it's you just have to be confident that like this is our thing.
Right.
And, you know, regardless of how present I am in the final product, this is a thing we've built together.
Right.
And so if you can take pride in that final product, it doesn't matter if you got like equal time talking.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Because
not
the thing
caught
is
up in that.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is good. Yeah. If the thing is good, the thing is good.
And also, too, like our editing process, everyone is in a room listening to whatever draft that you've put together or anybody's put together and like typing furiously notes the entire time while it's playing. And then the idea that you had that got approved that you started reporting on and got picked apart is getting picked apart again.
Yeah.
And like those, like it's a part of the whole, like everyone's fingerprints are on every episode is the other thing. So even like the audience, that's why we have credits at the end. Even if the audience is hearing like only one person talking, so many people's work went into the final product that it's like funny because there are episodes that I can think of that I've worked really hard on and I'm like, oh, I didn't appear in that. Do you know what I mean? Like, because it's such a group effort.
Right. Now we can't let you leave and go back to the nod until we ask you if you have a try this at home tip. We love all of our guests to propose a concrete, manageable tip that listeners can try at home to be happier, healthier, more productive, or more creative. Okay. Mm. Who wants to go first?
Eric, I think you should go first.
Eric.
So the thing that I would recommend is I have a discretionary fund spreadsheet.
Ooh.
And so I'm a person, I am a little cheap.
Cheap.
But I like I like things. I like to buy things, whether it's for my house, whether it's for like
I love clothes,
like, you know. So I keep a spreadsheet at home or on the computer in like Google Docs, and I have it actually broken up. I have different sheets within it, different like worksheets within it for like clothing, for stuff the house needs, and it's just all stuff that I want.
Right.
Like, not necessarily stuff that I need, but stuff that I want.
Right.
And so after I sit down, usually after payday, and I pay all my bills, and I, like, you know, budget my stuff, I'll see, oh, well, what's left over? And then I just pop in that sheet, And I'll see, like, do I feel like buying some clothes today? Maybe I feel like buying a plant. I'm into plants now. You know, and I'll pick something from it. And it gives me a little bit of that, like, a little bit of that kind of reward, like, mental reward if I'm getting something that I want. But usually what I'll do is I'll make sure all the things in that sheet feel like a deal. Are like either marked down or like or just really, really cheap.
Brittany is laughing.
I'm laughing because I just
she knows him.
I know what's happening.
So it's like I'm getting what I want. I'm fulfilling that need. I'm being a little reckless, but I still have saved some money.
So and that's another pleasure. It's like, oh, I got a good deal. That is so mature. Can I just say that is maturity pantheon, right? Like all my bills are paid. I'm like responsibly. Okay, that is a great try this at home. What was the last thing you bought? Your last discretionary?
I bought a burgundy rubber plant from Amazon.
Oh, from Amazon. Yeah. It's in the office right now.
Yeah,
you have to take it home. Yeah.
But I'm really excited.
We're caught up.
She's all over the burgundy rubber plant. Okay, Brittany, what's your dress?
I think I told you about this when I saw you a few months ago at the On Air Fest.
Yeah.
I used to think that, like, you know, working at Gimlet and working on podcasts, it's like, our podcast is fun, it's informative, making it is so hard and so time-consuming that, like, I started to feel like I don't have a minute to myself just to, like, chill and also, like, spend time at home with my boyfriend. Like, I feel like I'm literally just, like, losing my mind all the time. And so I realized what the issue was is that, like, work and after work time is so variable and a lot of times has to do with, is it a networking thing I'm going to go to? Is there like a book launch party that I should be at? Is someone speaking and I really want to go be there? Or do we have like a movie screening to go to so that we can like report on it for the show? I realized over time that like because of this job, my after work time is no longer like I'm going to be cute and go to happy hour and have a good time and unwind. That actually like my relaxation time to myself to like do all the little, you know, ridiculous things I like to do, like watch Instagram stories and like eat breakfast and all that stuff. I switch my time to the morning. So like,
yes, you're a morning person.
I am a morning person. My boyfriend would say otherwise because he gets up earlier than I do. But like, that's like, he'll get up about 30 minutes before I do and he'll go out and make coffee.
No, but
which
tell
I don't
people
drink.
What time this is. You're
okay,
a true
so
morning person.
we get up pretty early. Right. Well, this week we're sleeping in, so we've been getting up at like 6 or 7. But we get up at 5 or 5:30.
Yeah. So that's really
yes, 5 or 5:30, and like we will either go to the gym and work out and then come back and eat breakfast and then, you know, get ready to go to work. Or we'll just get up and hang out.
Right.
And that's like the time where like, because I know after work I might not see him. Like he gets off work an hour or so like after I do on most days. And like it's just weird. We're not going to see each other after work.
Right.
And so, yeah, at least I can get up in the morning and then that's the time where I can just, you know, be me. I can have my little, you know, I like to have a complete breakfast, you know, so like, you know, yesterday I think we had oatmeal with like nuts and seeds in it. That was really good and some blueberries and then also like some eggs for protein and I had like a little clementine and so then we'll like watch the news. Or like, not really watch the news. I guess he reads news off the internet. And we read the news off the internet to each other and show each other memes and stuff like that. And like, or sometimes we just watch, if we fell asleep before a television show is over, then we'll get up early in the morning and like watch that together sometimes. But that's just like switching our hangout time. Like, I don't know.
Really smart.
Yeah.
Because people kind of don't think of that as being having that potential. But it's like if you're both up early, it can be that.
Yeah.
And it's
actually
very leisurely because you're well rested and you're, you know, well, you're not distracted by the day.
We don't have any kids, too, I think is the other thing. I think that like.
Eric has been like,
No,
good luck
if you
with
don't
that.
Have any kids, you can't do it. But also, though, the thing is also, too, at nighttime, like the other thing is if we did have kids, then I wouldn't, like, there's a lot of evening stuff that I will do that Eric doesn't always do.
But that's the other good thing about
being a team. He can put somebody to bed and then after that,
I'm free.
Yeah, you could just like do whatever. So it's like I like kept thinking that I didn't have time, but really I was looking at the wrong time of day.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, try this at home. Try getting up early and having that be your relaxing, cool, amazing time.
Well, listen, thank you guys so much for coming here to the studio. It's so much fun to see you.
Thank you.
And these are great ideas.
Thank you guys for having me. This is amazing.
Yeah, seriously, this is so fun.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Coming up, Gretchen gets both a demerit and a gold star. But first, this break.
You know, Elizabeth, it's important to me to be a treasure house of happy memories, but sometimes it's hard to frame something that you want to keep. Like, I have had pieces of children's art that I really wanted to frame, but it's kind of unconventionally sized and it's hard to do. But Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. You can easily order online at framebridge.com, or you can visit one of their 20-plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your pieces in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free.
Gretchen, I realized I didn't have a recent framed photo of you and me and mom and dad, and I really wanted one. So when we were in Kansas City and took a great picture, I uploaded it, sent it to Framebridge, and now I have a beautiful framed photo of us. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, as we both are, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. Gretchen, we got Greenlight for Jack, and I love that it teaches him financial independence. Mm. He can earn money from us by doing chores and then getting money deposited into his Greenlight account. He can keep track of what he's spending.
Millions of parents and kids use Greenlight to learn how to make responsible financial choices. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/happier. That's greenlight.com/happier to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/happier.
Okay, Gretch, it's time for demerits and gold stars, and you are up this week with a happiness demerit.
Now, this is a demerit that is very painful to me. I think many people share it, but it is very painful, which is that I belong to a gym, but I don't go to that gym. And I haven't gone to that gym in such a long time. For years and years and years, I went to the gym all the time because it worked really well with my schedule. Like, I would drop off my girls at their nursery school, which was in the same building as the gym that I would go to. And there was a little coffee shop there, so I'd work on my laptop and drink coffee for a while. And then when I got sick of working, I'd go to the gym. It worked really, really, really well. But lately, I've really been loving going into Central Park. I've just had this super big urge to walk in nature. And so I've really, because for a while I was sort of going to the gym. Not as much. And then once a week I do yoga, and once a week I do high intensity strength training. So I am doing those things consistently. And I'm going for all these walks. But I'm like, I either should start using the gym or I should stop paying for the gym. The stupid thing is to join the gym and never go to it. But it's weirdly hard. Maybe this is like an identity thing, to let go of it and be like, I'm a person who doesn't belong to a gym. But it's so much money. It's like, I either need to start going or I need to quit.
So what do you think you should do? Which one?
I don't know, because I keep fantasizing, like in the fall, I was like, well, when it gets really cold, I'll want to go to the gym. And then I'm like, oh, when it's really hot, I'm not going to want to walk around Central Park. I'll want to go to the gym. So what I might do is like give myself to July when it's really, really hot in New York City and see, does that make me want to, you know, go work out on a treadmill in a nice air-conditioned gym? Or maybe I just want to embrace the fact that for whatever reason, I'm really drawn to nature, and I'm really, that's what is making me want to consistently exercise and let go of the gym. But so, okay, I'm going to commit to you here that I will decide by the end of July. I will either start going to the gym more or I will quit the gym.
And let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
Is it the right gym for you? In other words, is there a more convenient gym now that your girls aren't at that school? Should you join a gym closer to your house?
Well, I already did that. I did join a gym that's slightly closer, but weirdly, this kind of strange little weird gym just opened at the end of my street. And what I should do is look that up and see what is the deal with that little gym, because it's literally on the end of my street. So, okay, so I have my two things that I'm going to do. I'm going to investigate the place that's at the end of my street. And one way or another, I will have figured this out by the end of July.
Okay. Okay. We'll check back in.
Okay. Gold star, Alyssa, give us a gold star.
Yes, Gretchen, I'm giving you a gold star today.
I need one.
because you just spent days re-recording your book, Happier at Home.
Yes.
the audio version. What I love about this is that the first time around, you did not do the audiobook yourself.
No.
You hired a professional.
Yeah.
And it was because you had gotten, someone had written you and said that they didn't think you had a good voice for audiobooks. Isn't that right?
Well, there was that. And then somebody I knew, a very well-established, successful author, had really made the pitch to a whole group of us that it was really a better service to listeners to have a professional actor read, that to have kind of a non-professional, just like a writer themselves reading, was really a disservice. But what I didn't realize is that she was married to an actor. So she kind of had, you know, she had a particular point of view about that. Yeah, but what I found out after that book came out in audio was that people with a kind of a memoir-y book like mine,
yes,
they really expect it to be the voice of the writer. And people really, I kept hearing from people, especially once we have this podcast, because they actually know what my voice sounds like.
Yes,
so they're like,
yes.
Who's this interloper?
Well, it's funny, Gretchen, because I bought Willie Nelson's memoir, an audiobook, and then I put it in and it wasn't Willie Nelson reading the book. And I just stopped listening because the whole thing was I wanted to hear Willie Nelson read the book.
So, oh, he's got such a great voice.
Well, yes, of all people. So I think it's great that you did this. I know it took a lot of time and it's not the most comfortable thing. You probably feel self-conscious. So I'm really glad that you did it because I think everybody's going to enjoy it much more hearing it from you.
But Elizabeth, I have to say the funny thing was, is reading back through it, it had been a while since I'd looked at it. You know, there's this whole section where I talk about how you and I want to collaborate and we were working on that novel that we tried to do together and it didn't really come, we weren't able to really pull it off. But so much was like, we want to collaborate. And I literally say, like, we should do something like the Satellite Sisters. It's like,
oh my God.
Now we know the Satellite Sisters. We had Liz Dolan on this podcast. Like, we've had this whole collaboration. So it was very exciting for you. Should go back and reread that part because it's like such a fulfillment of our dreams. This podcast, like, the groundwork was laid years before. It's very happy.
Gold star, Gretch.
And that is it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Know your purpose. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our producer, Odelia Rubin. Also, thanks to Andy Bowers and Kristen Meinzer of Panoply. Thank you to our wonderful guests, the dynamic duo of Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings. Listen to their podcast, The Nod, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
And if you like this show, as always, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe and rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcasts. The resources for this week. People have asked me about how do you find online easily all the podcasts if you go to my site, GretchenRubin.com. If you go to GretchenRubin.com and you look at the top navigation bar that runs horizontally across the top of the site, you'll see the word podcast. If you click on podcast, you will see all the episodes lined up. So if you want to go back and like listen to episode 74 or you want to listen to the next one, you can. That's where you'll see them all lined up in order. Also, if you want my newsletter where, you know, every month or so I send out kind of information and cool links and images and updates and stuff, just text 66866 and in the message box, enter happier. And then when you get a text back, you enter your email address. Or you can just email podcast@GretchenRubin.com and just say newsletter in the subject line and I will sign you up.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.